in fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
CRIMEWAV. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Consider yourselves warned.
Phoenix Nightlife by Jason Duke, Part 2. 10:21 p.m. The Explorer sped north along freeway I-17. The Chernobyl Coke worked its magic. My heart raced a zillion miles a second, fluttering in my throat to keep from sinking into my stomach. My head felt like a balloon bobbing around on a string. I rolled down the window and the cool night air washed over my face, my heart slowing as much as the Coke allowed. Chuck's been bugging me about his Coke, Carl finally broke the silence. Fuck Chuck, I said. He'll get it when I give it to him. Sorry about what happened back at the Arco. I got scared and panicked. I looked at him, shaking my head. I knew I couldn't stay pissed at him, even after all his shit. His heart was always in the right place. He never intentionally went out of his way to fuck me over. A phone rang beneath my seat. I reached under the seat and felt around, pulling out his cell phone. You had this in the car the whole time? I said. Problem is, he always managed to fuck me over anyway. Sorry, bro, I forgot, he said. I answered the phone. Yo, speak. Rob? It was Cynthia. My voice went hoarse, and I coughed into the phone, one of those loud, exaggerated coughs to clear your throat, but all you're really doing is buying time. Yeah, I coughed again, the one and only. Hey, Tiger, it's after 10. You're not standing me up, are you? She said. We got held up at a friend's house. My voice was shaky. I coughed again to catch a breath. We're on our way to get you right now. I'll see you in a few, I said. I shut off the phone, slipping it in my pocket. Carl watched me from the corner of his eyes. 10:37 p.m. There were three phases to a drug deal. One, place the order. Two, wait for the order to come through. Three, the final score. Where the fuck is this guy? Freeze frame. Super title. Chuck Olson. Dealer shoe department manager. When it came to phase two, Chuck didn't like waiting. I told you not to trust the guy, Tony said. Freeze frame. Super title. Tony DeSedio. Chuck's friend. Tony was a blonde-haired Italian prick who looked like a model out of a Walmart ad. Chuck patted at his comb-over. It's cool. I've dealt with them before. They were playing pool at a back table inside River City Pockets. Tony lined up a shot. He banked it as Chuck stood to the side and watched. Nice shot. Yeah, it's just a matter of getting the cocksucker to deliver, Chuck said. Chuck had busted Carl snorting lines at work, and now Carl was a go-between if he wanted to keep his job. You should never front your money like that, Tony said. He lined up another shot. Fucking Woolies will rob you blind. This guy's even worse. He's one of those white pussies that tries to act black. You know why they act black, don't you? Tony made the shot. Because they think no one will find out how small their dicks really are. He wiggled his pinky at Chuck. You know how there's a shitload of those learning and discovery channels on cable, right? The ones you skip past to get to the sports? Yeah, Chuck said. So I was up late the other night channel surfing, right? Tony thought back to the other night. His studio was styled the way yuppie college freshmen pictured how adults lived. He sat spread eagle in his boxers on his Salvatore Manuano Prado leather sectional sofa. He pointed a remote control at his 51-inch Pioneer plasma flat screen set atop a Zuo Modern Fort Long TV stand. There was this health channel that had a thing on sexual dysfunction, so I checked it out. Yeah, Chuck said. Was it any good? Tony stood and threw the remote on the couch. He fished his favorite porn title, Dead Pussy, out of a drawer in the TV stand. He looked at the title, then jammed it into the Sony DVD player next to the flat screen. I knew this because I found out a few days later along with everyone else who watched CNN. They had all kinds of freaks on there talking about their S&M and bondage fetishes. You wouldn't believe some of the weird shit these freaks were into, Tony said. Even had a guy that got off fucking dead women. No shit, Chuck said. I'm telling you, man, there are some real sick people out there in the world. Tony lined up another shot. He looked up at Chuck. You ever wonder what that feel like? What's that? Necrophilia, Tony said. Fucking a corpse? Get the fuck out of here. Why'd you want to fuck a dead woman? Chuck shook his head in half disgust. Tony cracked the pool stick into the cue ball. Besides, Chuck smirked, her pussy'd be cold. The shot missed. Tony looked back up at Chuck, dead serious. Nah, hear me out a sec, Tony said. If you killed her, then fucked her right away. Her pussy'd still be warm. Chuck's smirk disappeared. Tony stepped aside, freeing up the pool table. I'm just messing with you, Tony grinned. Asshole, Chuck managed an uneasy laugh. He stepped up to the table to take his turn. I made my entrance scanning the pool hall. When you're high on coke, sometimes your imagination runs wild. I spotted them at the back. Chuck was bent over the pool table, pants down around his ankles. Tony had his hands planted on Chuck's fat, hairy ass. I shook my head and looked again. Chuck was bent over the table, lining up a shot. Tony leaned against the wall. Seeing the two together, it still made me wonder. It's about time you showed up, Chuck said. Tony chuckled and lit a cigarette, not that he thought Chuck was funny, but just to show what he thought of me. The pool hall was rank with cigarette smoke. I hated cigarettes, but after burning about 100 holes in my carpet from passing out too many nights with a lit cigarette in my hand, I hated any place thick with cigarette smoke. 20 years from now, I pictured Tony bedridden in a hospital dying from lung cancer, hooked to an oxygen machine fed through a trach tube. I hoped for black and shriveled lungs, for breasts like death rattles, miserable and excruciating. Hey, beggars can't be choosers, I said. You want your shit or not? Of course I want it. I wanted it 2 days ago, Chuck said. Yeah, well, you're getting it now. Where do you want to do this, here? Jesus, no, Chuck's eyes lit up. These fucking animals will eat me alive if they knew I'm holding. Go to the bathroom and give me the shit there. Whatever, I said. I walked off to the bathroom without waiting. It's cool, wait here, Chuck said to Tony. I ducked into the bathroom. Chuck followed, doing a quick glance into each stall. So where is it, Chuck said. He admired himself in the long, full-size mirror bolted to the wall next to the door. You're one impatient motherfucker, you know that, Chuck, I said. I showed him one of the bullets half filled with the Chernobyl coke. Carl had another shit fit when I hit him up for the bullet, not that Chuck cared. This isn't even close to a gram, he inspected the coke. And why the hell is it orange? Hey, take it or leave it. I turned toward the bathroom door to leave. Chuck snatched me by the shoulder. Nah, we're not done here. I shouldered past him. Outside the bathroom, a group of skinheads crowded around a pool table for a game. Any of you guys into cocaine, I said. You got some? One of the skins asked. He was about my age, twice as big, with an SS Totenkopf tattooed on the nape of his neck. I just sold the last of it to a preppy-looking fag who should be coming out of the bathroom any second. The skin zeroed in on the bathroom. Chuck walked out and they boxed him in. They shoved him back inside and I heard the mirror smash next to the door. Tony shrugged at me when I walked past, with a what the fuck's going on look, but I just shrugged back and smiled. 11:13 p.m. I stood at the front gate to Cynthia's apartment complex, working up the courage to buzz her over the call box. I had lied about being on our way to pick her up, knew I wasn't off to a good start. Is that you, Rob? Her voice blared over the call box. Yeah, I said. How'd you know I was here? Look to your left. I turned to my left, to a row of apartments. Look up. Keep looking. You're getting warmer. I looked up and scanned the apartment windows. A face poked through the blinds of a dark window on the second floor. Bingo, the gate buzzed. Come on up, Tiger. I walked to the front of the apartments. She stood in the doorway of a second floor double. A light was on behind her in the bathroom that silhouetted her slender body. Up here, she waved. She looked naked, and for a second, I thought I could make out perky little tits. I hurried toward the door. Freeze frame, super title, Cynthia Milyakova. Nymphomaniac. She disappeared inside, and I wondered whether my mind was playing tricks. Make yourself at home, she called from the bathroom. Where's Carl? The place was an IKEA showroom, stocked full. Everything was orderly and spotless. He wanted to wait in the car. He said, take your time, I said. Back in the Explorer, Carl was getting high, where the coke was more important. Oh, okay, she said. I strolled into the master bedroom. She had turned the other room into a mini-gym. A health freak and a neat freak, though fitness I could live with. The only thing out of place was a vanity with a collage of color photos taped along the edges. I moved closer to get a better look. I'm ready, she said behind me. Jesus, I spun around, then laughed. You scared the shit out of me. Aw, poor baby, she moved closer. I'm sorry. She was the spitting image of Sarah. Same slender, petite body, same creamy white skin, same boyish short black hair. She'd gone heavy on the red lipstick and light on the rest of the makeup, same as last time. A black miniskirt hugged her ass and hips. I almost didn't notice the bright red blouse. She pressed up against me. I moved back, though I didn't know why. I tripped over the bed, fell on my back across the mattress. She fell on top of me, giggling. I grabbed her loosely by the waist. I'm glad you wanted to see me again, she said. I'm glad too, I said. She went to kiss me, but I moved my head. She kissed my cheek instead, leaving a red imprint. We should probably get going, I said. I sat up and carefully pushed her off of me. Okay, she said. I could hear the disappointment. I went to kiss her, but the moment had faded. She smiled and gently wiped the lipstick from my cheek. The photo collage caught my attention again. I went to examine it, but she started pushing me out of the room. "Come on, let's go already," she said. She locked up the apartment and we walked out to the Explorer. I opened the door for her. Inside the Explorer, Carl was snorting coke like the world was coming to an end. "Naughty boy," she said. She sat in the back and scooted across the seat. She looked at me, patting the empty seat next to her. I took the hint. She reached out her hand, palm up, over Carl's shoulder. "I want to be naughty, too." 11:32 p.m. "Y'all ready for this?" I turned from Cynthia to the DJ's booth and the black curtain entrance at the back of the dance stage. The DJ placed another CD into the disc changer, and the loudspeakers crooned the sound of Mystical, Shaky Ass. "Let me hear you make some noise and give it up for Stardust, fine, gorgeous ladies." The crowd whistled and hollered as the curtains parted. A parade of sexy women in bikinis and G-strings strutted out onto the stage. I'd been to a lot of strip clubs. They were all the same. The same pricks night after night, teasing the strippers with dollar bills. A young blonde stripped away her bikini. She latched onto a dance pole with her tits, stroking the greasy metal. Sitting there with him, I wondered what that made me. I turned back to Cynthia and her spot at the bar. I tried not to stare at the blonde. Carl wandered off to the foot of the stage to join the rest of the crowd. "You want a beer?" I shouted to be heard over the crowd. "Yeah, sure. That'd be great," she said. I flagged down the bartender. "Two Coronas. Put them on my tab." "You got it," he said. He set the beers on the bar. "So how long have you been working at Dillard's?" I said to Cynthia. "Not long. About 2 weeks," she said. "And that's how you know Carl?" "Yeah, but we don't work in the same department." "What department do you work in?" "Perfume," she said. "I'm that girl you see behind the counter offering perfume samples. What about you? What do you do for a living?" I sipped my Corona, trying to buy time to think of something to say. "I manage the installations department at a Best Buy," I said. "It pays the bills." I prayed over and over in my mind that she wouldn't ask me the location, and the mantra worked. I stared at her face, her mouth, into her eyes. "Something wrong?" she said. "Sorry, you remind me of someone." She smiled. "Somebody special, I hope." "I'm sorry about Carl dragging you here. We'll go somewhere else as soon as he gets back." "Actually, it was my idea to come here." "Really?" I said. "Carl talks about this place at work all the time. He told me you guys come here a lot, almost every night." "He's exaggerating. I don't come here that much. Actually, I've been trying to cut back. I've developed too many bad habits I need to get rid of, and this is one of them." I brought the bottle midway to my mouth. "So what about you? Any bad habits?" She sucked hard on her bottle. She chugged half of the Corona, yanking it from her lips. The bottle pulled away with a loud pop, and she glared at me from the corner of her eyes. "Sorry, I didn't mean anything by it," I finally said, and sipped my Corona. "That's okay, I do have one," she smiled. "I love cock. I like them inside me, in my ass." She leaned up against me and whispered into my ear. "But most of all, I like sucking them. And what better place to find a bunch of cocks than in a titty bar?" She snapped a picture of me with her cell phone camera. "Got you," she said. "Jesus," I exhaled a long sigh, glad the joke was on me. "You really had me going." "You should see the look on your face," she said. "I gotta go pee. Will you do me a teeny favor?" She measured a sliver of space between her index finger and thumb for dramatic effect. With her other hand, she rubbed on the inside of my thigh. My dick did a little nod of approval in my pants. "Buy me a pack of cigarettes? Virginia Slims?" She stood and wandered off to the bathroom. I flagged down the bartender again. "You sell smokes here?" I said. "No, nearest place is a liquor store about a block away," he said. I pushed through the crowd to the front of the club. I accidentally shoved into a chunky black man, a cross between Biggie Smalls and a black Buddha. His glassy eyes left the dancer he was waving a dollar bill at. "Watch where the fuck you going, cracker." He looked back to the dancer and winked, cramming the dollar into her G-string. I continued, unfazed, to the front door of the club near the bathrooms. The black swivel door to the men's bathroom swung open, and a feral-eyed man, older than shit, hurried out. He tucked his plaid T-shirt into his golf pants and zipped up his fly. He glanced down at his zipper, then back to me. "Dream on, you little faggot." "Fuck, whatever," I scoffed. "You probably couldn't get it up." "Smartass," he rattled a prescription bottle at me. "That's what they make Viagra for." It would all go bad from here.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by the Crime Wave.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.